Welcome to the Film Mug podcast, where we're trying to achieve it one shot at a time. I'm one half of the Film Mug, Robert Carr. We're also joined by the other half of the Film Mug, Richard Scott.
That's me.
And then we're also joined by the official, unofficial third member of the Film Mug, Christian Foreman.
Hello.
You alright?
Uh-huh.
You good?
Yeah,
everyone?
Right.
Good? Yeah? Got anything to say at the start? No?
Have you got any fun facts?
I do, actually. Have you seen the film Casino Royale?
I have. James Bond.
James Bond.
First Daniel Craig film.
First Daniel Craig was really good. I still really like that film. Here's a fact for you. Daniel Craig actually lost his front two teeth whilst filming a scene in Casino Royale.
Do you know the scene?
It was the first scene to be shot.
Is that the one? Is that the parkour one where they're like jumping across all of the construction site?
Do you remember when parkour was like the big thing to put in films?
That's like, oh no, it's
in the bathroom.
We need to
in
put
the
a bathroom. Parkour, black and white. Parkour scene in, yeah.
Yeah, it's... It's the one where he's in the bathroom and he's getting his double O.
Yeah, I remember that.
Producers in 2004 talking to each other.
Well, there was a
you know what we need? We know what's missing. Parkour.
Well, there was a huge parkour documentary on at the time, right? It was about 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
And the whole world went obsessed with parkour.
Yeah, it did.
I did. You know what I'm like? I was like jumping about off every building I could find.
Like steps and that.
Yeah, yeah.
What's like that sort of trope that goes into films now? Like, what's the new...
Superheroes. You know, we need a superhero.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, he lost his first front two teeth in the opening scene and had to fly his dentist in from London to replace them. That must have knacked. Like, that is not a pleasant experience.
Have you ever lost a tooth?
I've had one pulled out. That wasn't very pleasant.
Aye. I've had four pulled out. Oh, one of them crumbled when it came out.
No, mine shattered as she pulled it out.
What are you doing? You're not brushing your teeth. What are you playing at?
Yeah, well, it didn't grow out properly, so it got decaying. Okay. And then when they pulled it out, they couldn't get a good hold of it, so it shattered. The other three, they just yanked.
That's a nice way to start the podcast, isn't it?
Yep, so why don't you let us know what we're doing on this filmmaking, not dentist podcast?
Parkour!
Coming up on this week's podcast, we have news and views where Rob will be discussing C-stands. What's them? We'll find out, won't we?
Ooh, sizzle.
And you haven't seen that, we'll be figuring out how The Big Lebowski achieved the film look by dissecting its filmmaking properties. And in between those segments, Rob and Rich will be competing in a filmmaking trivia challenge. We're bringing it back this week.
The trivia's back! Yo!
And if you want to send us any questions or you have any comments about the podcast or you want to recommend us a film to watch and dissect on the podcast, then you can. You can get in touch by finding us on Twitter at The Film Look. And if you're listening to the podcast via iTunes, please go and give us a rating over there. It helps us reach a wider audience. And if you didn't know, we also have a YouTube channel called The Film Look, where videos are uploaded every Tuesday and Sunday about all things filmmaking. And you can find some behind-the-scenes content of all of that stuff over on Twitter. No, it's not.
Instagram.
Facebook and Instagram. All links for those things are in the show notes below. Rob, get us started with...
News and views. News and views.
No, no. We're both doing the same part there.
No, right, so again.
Do you want to slate
news
that?
And views.
No.
News and views.
No.
Do you not want to slate it?
No.
Oh, I can't keep that in, man. I'm editing this anyway, so. News and views this week. I'm going to be talking about C-stands. There's a video from Shutterstock Tutorials. And, you know, C-stands might seem really boring, but it's probably... one of the best pieces of equipment on set. We don't actually have any. But C-stands are used for many different things, for like flying flags over, booming lights over. They're pretty much used for everything in the film industry. Do you want to know what the C stands for in a C-stand?
Yeah, I still don't know what one is.
Centurion?
Right, a C-stand is a heavy-duty light stand, which you can like boom things off. It's fully made of metal. It's got three legs, and you can get them in different sizes. They're just very heavy-duty. You've all seen right. one before.
So it's just like a, like what, on a construction site where they use them against the wall, you know, the thing?
No, not at all. It's for film.
You'll have seen them before.
Film production. You've definitely seen one before.
Like a clothing rack, but made of metal.
No.
It's like a light stand, basically. Right.
It's like a really shiny silver light stand.
Shows yeah. a photo.
It's got three legs, and they kind of all fold in with each other. Well, some of them do. In this video, they kind of talk about them. Do you want to know what the C stands for?
Richard said
Centurion?
Centurion stand, because it was from when they started making films, and they used to have these big stands.
Well, it mustn't have always been called that.
What?
Century stand.
Yeah, century stand. in the early days of Hollywood, they used to use them to put reflectors on to bounce lots of light from outside.
But I'm saying if it got the name Century because it's so old, then at one point in time it wasn't old. So why do they call it Century?
Because they used it at the turn of the century.
Oh, okay, there you go. Got the answer. Carry on.
Does it really matter?
Like, Rob gets 1 point for that.
Apparently, you know, like the fact is in front of us that it's called the Century Stand, so I'm not making this stuff up.
We don't believe you.
No, we don't believe us. So one thing about a C-stand is that you should always extend and put the weight onto the right. So as you turn the stuff right, if you put it right and you put something heavy on it, it'll always be falling to tighten. But if you tighten, put it onto the left, it'll loosen itself.
Righty's tighties, lefty's loosies.
Basically like that.
It's like putting a small stone on one of the arms of a clock. You want it to go from 3 to 6 rather than from 9 to 6.
Yeah, otherwise it'll loosen up and things will fall. This video goes in there, kind of explains how to use C-stands and just the different methods and how to store them and things like that. It's only 3.5 minutes, so give it a watch. It's got some good information better than what I've just described. And then the next video is from DSLR Video Shooter, and it's about video LED light hacks for like lamps. So he uses an Aperture 9, is it?
M9?
Aperture M9.
The little one?
Yeah, the kind of the little credit card size LEDs. They've got like a magnetic front, so you can change the color temperature on them. And what he does is he places it inside like a normal desk lamp. So if you've got a desk lamp and you're seeing, normally you would put a bulb in there, but you can't really control it too much. If you need to dim it, a lot of them don't have dimmers on. And you definitely, to change color, you've got to change the bulb inside. But this light is small enough to fit inside like a normal desk lamp. And he just kind of goes over and shows the different applications you can use for this light. And the lights are super cheap as well. So
Has he made like a screw attachment so you can actually screw it in?
So you can actually buy for a normal lamp, you can actually convert a lamp attachment to like a plug-it extension.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I don't know why you wouldn't just plug into a wall instead of into the actual lamp.
Right.
But it's made of metal and he puts a little bit of Velcro, I think, on, or magnetic. Yeah. So he puts them inside, and it's just super easy way to do this. And these, like, you know, we've got a couple of small LEDs, but we got them quite a few years ago now. So
yeah, they're like the newer, like 160, like big.
Yeah, the
panels
not so good, and kind of Aperture's brought these out, and you just get a couple of these, and you build them.
So you just unscrew the bulb and put them in instead, and then you've got all this control over them.
Yeah, you just get all the control. Well, the screw itself can be used for other things. It's not built for this particular light, but it's just how he uses them. It's just a super, like, he uses it in the background as a background light or an edge light, as a practical in the scene. And when you're doing this, like it says, with normal household bulbs, well, it can get hot.
You don't have a lot of control.
Yeah, you don't have the control. And the color of a household bulb is 2,300 Kelvin. So it is a lot warmer than if you were, you know, so if you were trying to match up your filmmaking lights, which, you know, will be 3,200 Kelvin, there will be a difference in color, be a slight difference, but it definitely will be there. But this, you can dial it right in, and it just makes everything easier. So yeah, go check that video out, and the Aperture M9 lights. I don't actually have any more news and views. It's a little bit slow this time of year, there's not much news because all of the cameras got announced 2 months ago, so everyone's just waiting for them to come out. So until that does, we'll have reviews on those. So that's the end of
news and views.
Nah, nah, nah.
News and views.
Nah, nah, nah. Okay, so we're bringing back trivia this week.
Okay.
And I thought we'd ease back into it with a classic. I think this is probably one of the first games we played where it's the simple guess the film based on the score or the motif or the soundtrack.
Ooh, that film sounds good.
Ooh, that film sounds good. Yeah. That's what it was called, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Should we start a new season? Or do we have one? Is somebody ahead?
I think which was 1-0 ahead, I think.
Let's scrap that.
Let's scrap that
and
start again, because we haven't done it for a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, start from scratch. All right, we'll just go straight into it. So some of these are quite well-known. I picked some relatively well-known ones. And it's just the first person to shout out.
And if anyone's in the car listening to this or on a walk or something and they shout it out before we do,
let
us know and we'll...
We got the points.
You get the points, yeah.
You probably will get them before these two. But yeah, just let us know. Here's the first one.
Superman?
Oh, yeah. I agree, it is Superman.
It was Superman. You got that within the first beat.
That was impressive.
Are you a Superman fan?
Yeah.
Oh, I've just realised Lois Lane died this week.
She did, actually. Yeah.
That wasn't the reason I did that.
No, that's sad.
Got nothing else to say on that. Which is just like... What's the next
one? What was she called, though?
Oh, that's the next one.
Godfather.
That was the Godfather, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Very similar openings there. I'll play it a bit more.
I'll tell you what's good. The Godfather video game.
Is that how you got that music?
Yeah, because it always used to start when you would start the game.
I'll do one more. Let me pick a harder one. What have I got? This one.
The Truman Show.
Nope.
I recognise it, but I don't know what it is.
I'll keep playing until Rob has a guess.
Shawshank Redemption?
Nope. Rich, you want to guess?
Oh, I'm going to go with a curveball here. Is it Saving Private Ryan?
No, you're along the right lines.
What was it then?
It was Castaway.
Oh, right, okay. Just sounds generic, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Well, if you know it, it's
who
not.
Who composed that? Bet it was...
Is there another Johnny Wilbur?
It was Alan Silvestri.
I don't know.
Because he does literally every other film composition.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm looking now and I can't find it. But, all right, no points there for you two. So it's 1-1 this round. Cool. We'll return to that after we do the Big Lebowski. Okay, let's do the Big Lebowski. So the Big Lebowski is a 1998 American crime comedy film written and produced and directed by Joel and Ethan Coen, a.k.a. the Coen brothers, and it stars Jeff... Richard's laughing. What are you laughing at?
Just because you're cooing.
It stars Jeff Bridges as Jeffrey Lebowski, a.k.a. the dude, and who he plays an L.A. slacker and an avid bowler. And he is assaulted as a result of a mistaken identity, after which the dude learns that a millionaire, also named Jeffrey Lebowski, was the intended victim. The millionaire Lebowski's trophy wife is kidnapped, after which he commissions the dude to deliver the ransom to secure her release. Oh, it's a very convoluted plot, isn't it?
You know, you say he's an avid bowler. Fun fact, early one, he never bowls in the film other than in his dream once.
Oh, really?
You see Steve Buscemi bowl all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
I'll finish the plot. But the plan goes awry when the dude's friend, Walter Shawshank, Fred Flintstone, him, schemes up to help deliver the ransom money. So, The Big Lebowski didn't do very well at the box office. I think, it didn't do very well with ratings either at the time when it was released. But over time, it's become very, very popular. It's become a cult classic. And all those reviews, I think, have shifted to a positive. And I think it's noted and known for its rather eccentric characters and its dream sequences and unconventional dialogue and its soundtrack. It's a pretty cool soundtrack.
Yep.
Rich, you've seen this before. You wanted to watch this week.
No.
Or was it me?
I wanted to avoid this film.
Rich one. I picked this film this week, I think.
Yeah, you definitely picked it because Rob hadn't seen it, so yeah. You picked it.
Rich watched this once and he didn't like it. Rob's never seen it and I watched it and liked it, so we thought it was a nice little trio. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start with you, Rob, before going to Richard. What was your initial reactions?
Kind of initial reactions of this, the plot doesn't really matter with this film. It gets a little bit confusing near to the end. The money that goes missing doesn't really matter about any of that. It's just about following these characters around and this world. And the dude really following him around. He is in every single scene, pretty much every shot just about. And I think it's kind of they just wanted to make this film because they've got this character, the dude, they wanted to write about. It was fun in places. It was like I said, I kind of like the dialogue in this. I it's got an amazing cast. So John Goodman. I've always loved him. So seeing him in this, it was class. Steve Buscemi, Philip Seymour Hoffman's in this.
Yeah,
which is random. I really like the characters. It was just kind of the plot. It does get a little bit confusing. There's a lot of characters that get introduced and who's after who. And I was just like, what's going on? And then I was just like, oh yeah, the money doesn't really matter. So it's kind of good. I kind of liked it, but that's kind of Coen Brothers films. I kind of half like them, half don't. So I kind of half like this film and half don't like it.
That's a fair review, I think, for the first time.
Yeah.
It is a very particular type of film. I don't think everyone's going to like it. Mm-hmm. If you like films with plots, you're probably not going to like this.
I do. So, but
yeah.
I kind of like the characters, maybe. Not so much the dude, more John Goodman's character. So.
Yeah. All right, Rich.
Right, so before I saw this, it's one of those like big referenced movies, and the people who like this film really like this film. So when I first saw it, I was expecting a lot from it, and because of that, I can't stand it, because everything that should have made me laugh, I've already seen on Reddit, on Tumblr, from what people say on the Facebook profiles. I thought the casting in this was really good, but I hated all of the characters.
Oh, really?
I hated the dude.
Hate the dude? Hate the dude.
I don't really like the dude.
He's really annoying. And you know what I really hate? When people make their own nicknames up and they hammer in. Oh, what's he called again? Oh, he's called the dude. Yeah. Yeah, we hear that like a million times. Get over it. Let's do something else. John Goodman's character, really annoying on screen. Can't stand him. Really. The only one I do like is Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
And he just gets told to shut the fuck up the whole time. It's like, why can't we see more of this guy? He's interesting and he's enigma. The plot, yeah, absolutely terrible. There's nothing going on in this film. It's not funny. It's not interesting. It doesn't look good. Doesn't sound good. If anything, it's just a boring, bloody film. I hate this film so much.
I mean, I feel like what you said about the kind of references and, you know, people who love this love it. I thought that as well, but I kind of went in with it. Okay, trying to forget about that. And there is some stuff to this that, I mean, I think if you a lot of stoners who watch this would absolutely love it because it is a stoner film.
The stoners,
and I've never really
this.
Liked that. Like you said, the dude, not my favourite character. I really like John Goodman just because he was just a ridiculous army American guy.
He's very much a cartoon character. I feel like this is the live action version of an episode of Ed, Edd n Eddy. And if it was a cartoon and we had to watch the cartoon and then reviewed it, we would all be sitting here going, well, it's a cartoon for kids. This is like the same sort of quality. It's just not a good film. And because it's like has such high esteem and it's this cult classic, it's sensitized everything that should be good about it and it's made it bad about it.
That's a cult classic, isn't it?
I don't like any of the dream sequence stuff either. I think the editing's not very good.
I don't like the dream sequences kind of took it out, but I suppose it is a stoner film. He's stoned. So, yeah. I mean, every time he gets knocked out, he goes into this weird...
All right,
from the one where he got balled down the bowling alley, I thought that was pretty good.
Let's go into it so you're not just rambling
but this
and
is,
into
this
the
is
whole
the,
thing.
This is the last time I'm going to rant, so now you just need to convince us why this is a good movie.
What did you really think, though, Rich? Did you like it? No.
Right, I don't right, if I had to like rate movies on the quality and the technical prowess, I wouldn't say that this was like a 0%.
Yeah.
But I would say because so many people think that this is like the greatest movie ever and it's always in like top tens and things like that.
Yeah,
it should be like Shawshank quality. It should be that sort of like amazing masterpiece of a movie.
It's a comedy
and
though.
I don't even find it funny. That's what's bad about it as a comedy. You know, we've went on things like Shaun of the Dead, even American Pie. I was actually laughing at those films. I didn't laugh at this film once. So it's not funny.
I laughed a lot more. I've seen this 3 times now. This was the 3rd time I watched it.
You drunk a White Russian the other day.
I did. We'll get to that. And
did you keep your sunglasses on as well?
No, I didn't have any in the pub at the time, but I wish I did. But it is... It's a character film, like Rob, you said, right? So you don't laugh at the gags. People normally go to a comedy film for the gags, right? American Pie, gag, gag, gag. So same with The Hangover and all those types of films. Mm-hmm. If you're expecting that out of this film, you're just not going to get it. it's funny because of the characters. It's like you get to know the characters, you get to know the dude, and then you put the dude in this wacky situation and just watch how he reacts to it. And the humor comes from him just being in a situation where he shouldn't be.
The one thing I did laugh out was about it's stupid, but the Nycteis rogue. And I found found that hilarious. It's just his rug's gone missing, and that's all he's bothered about.
It really tied the room together.
Yeah, really. Then when he said that, I was so, oh yeah.
See, that's another one of the references that I heard a billion times watching it. So when it came up, I was like, oh,
it is a heavily. It's a heavily quoted film.
It's like Spider Pig.
Yeah, but I was gonna say I laughed a lot more the second time and the third time. I didn't really like it the first time. I wasn't like disliked as much as you did, but I didn't get it the first time. But the second time,
yeah, I don't think I got it the first time, to be honest.
Because you know the characters more, you know the tone, you get what they're trying to go for. You accept it and you laugh a bit more.
I liked it less the second time I watched it.
Okay.
The first time I watched it, I was disappointed. The second time I watched it, I hate this film.
Right.
It's definitely been spoiled for you.
Yeah.
I have those films where it's like, I'm not going to like this film because of the hype or the people that like
and
this film.
The people who like it, I didn't really like, and I found them annoying. And I will grant you this. I probably deliberately don't like this film on a subconscious level because I want to deliberately not like it because of the people who do like it.
You don't
want to
be that person.
I wasn't entertained by this. This is the first time watching something on the podcast that I was very, very reluctant to even bother watching. And I did. I watched it last night and I was kind of like, this is a waste of me time.
All right. Well, let's start talking about it objectively.
There's probably people listening right now going, Richard, get him off the podcast. He's wrong. Well, comment in on Twitter and tell us why I'm wrong.
We'll start with the story. So the story kicks off in a very peculiar way. So the two guys break into the dude's apartment and beat him up and piss on his rug and steal his rug. Uh-huh. No, they don't steal it. They just piss on it, right?
Yeah.
And then that sets him on this very, very weird path where he meets this millionaire. There's a kidnapping. There's a porn boss. There's like, there's ransoms. There's a lot of convoluted plot things here. And in the end, none of it really matters. Everything goes back to normal. And none of the things were actually the things that they were supposed to be, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So it's not about the story, it's about the characters. Yeah. Do you like those types of films? I know we've passed on a little bit there, but would you go out to make a film like this?
Well, like it's going in one direction, but then that doesn't really matter. So you can go to something else. It's kind of like The Mystery Machine.
Yeah. It hasn't got its typical, point A to point B to point C to point D.
They achieve everything or the don't.
Kind of more like the try to go with plan A. It doesn't work. Right, what's plan B? It doesn't work. What's plan C?
At the same time, from the director's point of view, it seemed deliberate. It wasn't just like they felt like they were making up as they were going along.
Yeah.
It felt like this weird, peculiar, circuitous route was like intentional.
Yeah.
Rather than just like, I don't really know where to take this story to.
Yeah.
That's
not one of the things I disliked about it. In fact, I quite liked it that it wasn't like an A to B to C. It was sort of all over the place because the characters all over the place.
What you can say is you would never, no matter how many films you've seen, no matter how intelligent you are, you would never guess what the next scene is going to be if you had no idea what this film was. Wouldn't be able to predict it.
The thing is, a lot of films have taken that very structure within the comedy from this. Like, Dude, Where's My Car? Is this film
pretty
much, you know? Dude, Where's My Car? Is not the greatest film, but it's very much this, the structure and everything, because it doesn't really matter, and there's so many characters in, and it is everything just. It's kind of like, in a way, Pulp Fiction. You don't need to see what's in the briefcase. It's you're just following these characters within this world, and these crazy situations are happening. John Goodman's character, Walter, he causes most of the problems. You know, the dude, if he just went from A to B and delivered the money. Was it money? Did he actually have it?
Well, then there'd be no story, would
there? Yeah, there'd be no story, so it would. You kind of need those characters in to put them off in a different direction. But if you took John Goodman's character out and he did deliver that suitcase, but it didn't have any money in anyway, or did it, you know, because it was a dummy one.
Is it a MacGuffin?
I was just about to say, are all these things MacGuffins? Because they're not consequential to the plot at all.
And you never see the money.
No.
You don't know if it's in any briefcase or where it is. So it's kind of like, it doesn't matter because the characters, you're just following them around. So yeah.
The sort of story plot idea is kind of like Easter egg hunt, isn't it? You're trying to collect cards or Easter eggs. and bring them all with you at the end.
It's also a mystery story.
Yeah.
The audience is trying to figure out who's in the right, who's in the wrong, what's going on, who we should trust and all that sort of stuff.
It's just about ridiculous situations. The one thing that I would say about some of the characters, though, it's kind of like the group of three which were in the band, I think they were.
Autobahn!
Like
the Nihilists.
Like when that happened, I was just like, but they've got the girl, but they don't, and they want the money, but they know they don't have them, and it was just like, take them three out, and I just really didn't care about them. Because
they were funny.
The people kept turning up to the house and like destroying it. I was like, who's this guy again? So it was kind of trying to remember. I think if we watch it the second time, I would be like, all right, okay, now I
follow it does make sense person. When you watch it again, so we talk about the dude. So the dude is a kind of laid-back, relaxed, hippie-ish type person.
Surfer sort of character.
Yeah. Always, you know, he doesn't really care about much about, and you know, he just likes going to the bowling alley, getting drunk, getting high. Mm-hmm. He's got like two mates and he seems quite content and happy with life. That's his thing. Yeah. That's why everyone loves him so much, because he's a cool dude.
Chilled out.
He likes white Russians.
I don't think people should look up to a person like this.
Well, it's not, you know, aspiring to be like him, just like being content and happy with who you are, I think, is his ideology and motto.
Yeah, he's just, he is just the dude, he's happy.
I know, there are differences though, isn't there? Like, you get like the sort of homeless guy who walks around and he's happy with what he does and he has very little, and that's totally fine. You've got films like, is it Into the Woods? That's one of them.
Into the Woods, isn't that a Disney film?
Oh, I don't know, I might be thinking of another. It's something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a few TV shows on Netflix as well, like Flaked, where there are characters who are just there, and they don't have a lot, they don't need a lot. But this guy, he's just really annoying.
Well, I know, but he doesn't have a lot, he doesn't need a lot, and he's happy with what he's got and does, and he just
wants his rogue back.
He just wants
his
rogue
that's
back.
All he's, that's all he wants.
That's as simple as his character gets.
There's nothing deeper. That's why he's just such a good character, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think, you know, he's a role model in any way, because, you know, I suppose he is, because he's just happy and content with the little stuff that he does have.
Yeah.
He's got mad friends, though, so that's what makes it interesting, the difference between his friends and what goes on with them. So.
I don't think he has little enough for me to appreciate him as this like minimalist, bare essentials guy who, like, wow, this guy's managing on his own. He's happy with not a lot. Like, he does have stuff. He's got a house. He's got clothes. He's got money to spend on a car, and he has money to spend on bowling. Where's he getting this money from? That's what annoyed is. He's not this guy who literally has nothing and he's happy, and I can appreciate that. Like, wow, he's managed to find happiness in his house.
It's not about that.
Yeah, he's happy with what he's got.
He's just got modest aspirations in life, and that's it, really.
He's just annoyingly lazy, and he doesn't change throughout the film either, and that annoyed us.
Oh, yeah, that's...
There's no journey to his character, and, I mean, it's probably one of the main reasons I don't like this film, is because if I don't like the main character, why would I want to watch it?
Yeah. He isn't every scene, so...
Well, I liked him.
Well, that's good.
He's based off a real guy that the Coen brothers met.
Oh, really?
Called Jeff Dowd, I believe.
Oh,
right. And Jeff Bridges met him once before starting this film.
They wanted Brando to play him.
Oh, really?
The dude, yeah. I don't know why they didn't.
But... I think this is Jeff Bridges' best role he's played. I think it's great. I haven't seen a lot of his films. I've seen a few. He won the Oscar for Crazy Heart, I believe.
Yeah,
he did. But even then, I think...
I like him in Tron.
I like him as the bad guy in Iron Man.
Oh, no.
No, he's not a very good villain, is he?
One thing I noticed about the dude is how they set him up in the beginning scene, where you've got the narration over the top and he's in the supermarket
getting the cream
for his white
Russian.
I
don't think we needed any...
I don't like the cowboy.
Any of the voiceover stuff.
Did you like anything?
The stranger, I thought that was...
I didn't get the cowboy thing.
We should have just... It should have just started with a shot of the...
It's just a quirk of the film. You don't need a reason to have it.
We should have just been really quiet beginning, and we just see him walk over and smell the milk. And that shows us exactly what his character is. We didn't need to have this stupid narration of this guy who then starts to narrate his own thing and like has his own personality.
It's just
annoyed us as well.
It's just a bit subversive of the norm that you see in film, right?
I mean, it kind of fits this film, but I didn't like the cowboy, and especially the ending of him. I was like, hang on, are we ending here? It kind of didn't need it. But for this film, I suppose it's a little bit daft anyway, so...
Anyway.
It fits this type of film.
The setup of the dude, where you say, like, when he smelled the milk or the cream...
yeah.
And then he went up to the till and he paid for the milk in it with a check.
Yeah,
so he paid like 69 cents. Again, it's
all
like
of
just,
that I thought was really good character building. We understand who he is straight away.
It summarizes the character brilliantly in the first scene, really.
Yeah.
We should talk about Walter, Jeff Goodman, Fred Flintstone. You didn't like him?
He's a Vietnam vet. Yeah. Supposedly.
I suppose. But he wants to, he shoehorns Vietnam into everything he possibly can throughout the whole film, which is quite humorous, I suppose. Funny.
He takes
takes Bolin very seriously.
Yeah. Well, it's what I liked about him is because he's completely different to the dude. He's he's over the top. He's loud and
he's quite intense.
And the dude's just like the complete opposite. And it's kind of nice to have that juxtaposition of both of them. Like, and I like John Goodman and anything, so I'm a bit
biased on
that.
I feel like his character had poor writing. It was, let's go for an extreme thing. Oh, how about he gets a gun out and like aims it at the other guy? I feel like that's the first thing you would write when trying to think of a crazy thing for that character put into.
Well, the first thing you would write is he's just pure shouting at him, and then maybe he's throwing something at him, but I think the gun pulling out, it's just like, whoa, you get to know his character straight away. As soon as he pulls out, it's like, wow, he is the extreme. If he didn't have the extreme, he would be just a mediocre character. You have to have
full,
the contrast
full
between
whack or whatever. What do you say? Like, go. What do you say?
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home.
Yeah,
right?
You have to
That's it. That's him pulling the gun out of his bag.
I didn't think they went big enough.
Pulling the, what do you want to shoot him?
No, just like something different. Make him more insane. Make him more mental.
More insane. He's quite mental. Insane.
He jumps out of the car and as he's driving to like shoot them, he gets shot himself. That's quite a funny scene. How insane do you want him to go?
I don't know. I feel like pulling a gun out and aiming at them and shouting at them is it's too vanilla. It's too normal.
What are you on about? It's normal.
I like, all right, we need to make him seem like this crazy guy.
He's in the ball.
And he's like really angry, so what should we do? Oh, how about he pulls a gun out and like aims it at him? That's the first thing. Write that down.
He's arguing.
Why don't you think of something else?
He's arguing about that his foot was over the line and he pulls a gun out. How much can you go further? We've seen this
in like cartoons all the time.
But
I don't think there's anything we can say to persuade you that this guy is insane.
Yeah.
I know he's insane. I just don't think the writing of the character is unique enough to be interesting. I feel like pulling a gun out and aiming it at someone is so cartoonish and still very believable. It's not crazy enough.
I mean, he could have bowled the guy down the lane. That would have been even crazier. But
yeah, there you go.
But that's cartoonish.
That's right. That's
pretty much cartoon.
But it's a little brainstorm enough. of what that scene could be.
I honestly think he was crazy enough pulling the gun out, just because it was why he was pulling the gun out. It was like his foot was over the line, or was it? No one really seen, and he wanted to duck the points. Like going from that to the extreme of actually pulling a gun out is very far from each other. So it's kind of like if you go any further, he becomes this supervillain in a way of like ridiculousness. But he's still human in a way. But he's doing it silly.
The
yeah.
reason he's doing it is because he's his own moral compass, right?
Yeah.
There's right and there's wrong, and putting the toe of the line is wrong in his books, and that's no different to, I don't know, jumping down the alley and knocking over the pinch yourself. I do think it sets up his character nicely in a very how intense and antagonistic he is.
I think he's intense throughout it as well. I mean, he smashes up a car, but it's kind of like...
How funny is it when he's shouting at that kid?
He is quite an extreme character because there's not many people like that in a way. So,
all right, let's move on to direction then. So how many... Have you seen a lot of Coen Brothers films?
A bunch.
I think it's not my favourite one. I like Fargo, and I like...
I've only seen Fargo once, and I think it's definitely one I need to see again.
I didn't like Fargo.
You didn't like Fargo.
I like the TV series of Fargo.
Okay.
I didn't like the film.
I really like the film. That's my favourite. What's the other one that I like?
I've seen... Is No Country for Old Men there?
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, that's
And then
that's
I think this one falls under that, The Big Lebowski, and then they've got some rubbish ones.
Yeah, No Country for Old Men's a good film.
Yeah, that's
we should watch that on the podcast.
Yeah. I've seen Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh yeah, that one as well. That was a recent one.
That's
I like that one.
That's
it's got poor Daniels in.
Yeah, that's again, you're just following him for a week. So nothing really happens, but it's the end's really good. I liked it.
What I like about the Coen brothers is that every film looks different. It feels different. It's not like a Wes Anderson film where you can... It's the same style. Every film's quite a contained thing, where they're just experimenting.
They've tried something else. Yeah.
They're all a bit... what's the word we use? Where they're a bit like left of centre.
Yeah.
It's not like a realistic world. You can kind of you can feel that in The Big Lebowski. The characters are a bit exaggerated and the world's a bit pulled over in each direction. Mm-hmm. I think the only film that sits in firmly in reality, I think what I've seen is The Serious Man. I can't remember what the title is.
The Serious Man. I've seen that.
That's very like just a straight out drama. Mm-hmm. But all the rest of them are a bit quirky and weird, but in their own way.
Cool.
But this is I think one of the only comedy ones they've done, or at least one that's the only one that's funny.
They did Burn.
Oh, they did Burn After Reading. Don't ever watch that film. No.
I mean, try it out.
But yeah, what I was going to say about the direction is, you really don't know where I've said already. You really don't know where this film is going. I like that about a film, right? I don't like when you know exactly what the next beat's going to be.
They did say that the plot really doesn't matter. And they did come out and say, like, if this is your first time watching it, the second time you'll really understand it. But the confusion shouldn't really matter, that you don't know where things are.
I don't think it's their favourite film either.
No.
I think they're surprised at how much following it's got.
Yeah.
Right, what's next on the list? Cinematography. Rob?
Yeah, shot on film, 35mm. It's got, I mean...
I think this is one of the worst films Roger Deakins has ever shot.
Oh, yeah, it's Roger Deakins.
Deakins, yeah. I mean, the bowling stuff looks really good. I love all of that stuff. I did like the one dream sequence, you know, when he gets bowled down the alley.
In terms of the special and visual effects of those parts.
Yeah.
Those were interesting.
Yeah.
I liked it when they put the camera inside the bowling ball and it looks like it was a giant bowling ball going down.
Yeah, stuff like that's really good. But like you said,
that made us sick, that, because it kept going to the floor and then on the ceiling. And I was dizzy.
But yeah, I mean, other than that, like,
I guess it's fit for purpose, isn't it?
Yeah, Roger Deakins, you wouldn't think this was his, in a way. I mean, he shot it off for the Coen brothers, didn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's... kind of, yeah, it just fits.
But does it work? Yeah, it feels like a 90s comedy, doesn't it? It looks like one.
Yeah.
I don't think it has any sort of unique look to it that's like, oh, we should make a film and it should look like this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, like, make your film look like The Big Lebowski. Like, if you say, let's make it look like Blade Runner, it's obvious.
Yeah. I mean, the only way you could make it look like Big Lebowski is like maybe it's the costume designs.
Costumes, yeah.
I mean,
beige sunglasses, things like that.
John Goodman's, he's always got this vest thing on.
Yeah.
Obviously, the dude always wears what he wears, and kind of the ball and the suits from the other team in the purple. Jesus is it called? You know, you can make it look like that. So that all kind of fits. But everything else, sets and everything, it just fits. There's nothing really that stands out. So,
What's next? It is the special effects, visual effects.
I think that's probably the best thing about this film.
Yeah, the dream stuff. Like it says,
he gets knocked out twice.
Yeah.
So he gets knocked out at the beginning, and then that's why he's flying through over the city, over LA, and then he gets knocked out again. I can't remember how.
There's a staircase sequence. And then
is it
the bowling sequence, or is that part of that one as well?
No, it's a separate one.
I really like that type of stuff. When he gets knocked out, I mean, is it necessary in a film like this? Well, in a film like this, probably, but is it necessary? He just gets knocked out, then he wakes up at the next location. Is it time wasting? I suppose it's high as well, probably.
Yeah.
So it kind of fits in with his character, all that type of stuff.
The editing. Any comments, thoughts, opinions on the editing of this film?
Yeah, there's a lot of blips in the cuts in this.
Hmm.
So that there's a rule that you can follow that helps the audience follow along with who's looking at where. And it's you cut the moment after someone looks from one person to the other with their eyes. So they look with their eyes, then it cuts to the perspective of that. The missed that a few times in this, which I was actually surprised by, because I thought that at least on a technical standpoint for the editing, it would be pretty solid, and it wasn't. And I picked them out quite easily, and that made us dislike this film even more, which you wouldn't think would be possible.
Rob, anything? What do you think of the pacing? What do you think the length of the film?
I like the pace. I like the sort of, they had these fast moments, like when they're in the car and throwing it over the bridge and then he jumped out, things like that. It had like a doom, 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 had beats, he could feel it. And then when it slowed down, it halved those beats. And then we got these super slow moments of just conversations. I didn't particularly think the conversations were that interesting, and it was a lot of telling and not showing. But yeah, he had moments of different types of pace, which I thought was good. I didn't like the pacing of the dream sequence stuff, though. But I guess it's just kind of like, I just wanted to know what happened next. Well, I didn't, because I don't like it. But I would want to know what happens next. And instead, I'm stuck for the next 5 minutes watching this essentially a crazy music video. And if it was just a crazy music video and it was just this abstract thing, then maybe I would have liked it a bit more. But there weren't enough. There were like, there was too much on the nose abstract to it. Like the flying down the lane and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the dream stuff kind of helped him fit in with the story and told something, or he was figuring something out while he was in this dream sequence, like who's got the money and putting two and
like Twin Peaks.
Yeah, putting things together and things like that, that would have kind of helped tie the dream stuff in. Visually, I think it did look really good, but it was just the purpose of it.
Yeah.
Was it needed? But in a film like this, you kind of
the whole film's not really needed, is it?
No, I think it is.
There's no real message to be told in this film, is there?
It's just fun. People are enjoying themselves.
Well, that's fine. People can enjoy themselves. But you wouldn't watch a kickabout, would you? You would watch a FA Cup final.
See,
feels like a kickabout.
I feel like with this, there's characters to the extreme, though, which are kind of... You would watch.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe next time I watch it, I just need to like study the characters a bit more.
Yeah, because they are to the extreme. Like, there's two very different characters, and then there's some weird ones that pop into this, and they all kind of fit within this weird universe, and everyone's connected by this one person who is the dude. And if anything, if the dude's not as important as some of the other ones to help this plot go forward, even though there isn't a plot. But it's kind of, you just observe in this particular world of Ballin and...
I think there could be a sequel.
Yeah, I mean...
They're never going to do one, but I think they could. Because if it's just based on the characters, then they could just these characters in another weird situation.
Well, no, what you could do with this is, you do have the same characters, but it's about the Ballin. Like, I thought this film was more about that, because that's all I'd really seen of, like...
It is funny that... The only person you see is Steve Buscemi.
Ball.
And he never, there's a little fun fact, he never misses a strike. He's like the best bowler of them all, except the last one.
Yeah, yeah. And that's
when he begins to have his heart attack.
And you can see he at the beginning of the film, he touches his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's meant to be like an indication that he's going to have a heart attack.
What I want to say about the bowling is when the cowboy guy at the end does his big monologue, and then it pans to the guy in the background.
Someone getting a strike,
and he has to nail that every time. Imagine if he
cuts early, so maybe he didn't get a strike on that one.
No, it all went down. Right. But if he doesn't get it, then they've got to do that big monologue again in the background. So I bet he was a very good bowler though. So
moving on to the sound design first. Anything?
There wasn't, I could pick out.
Anything
no,
you count?
Nothing. No, it was just
sounded all right.
Yeah.
Sounded good. Soundtrack or score?
Soundtrack was good.
I love the soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's definitely memorable, isn't it?
I love the soundtrack.
And no one can really use any of that music in any other film now, because it's like, why, have you just stole that from the Big Lebowski? You can't use that.
Yeah. After I watched it, I listened to the soundtrack on Spotify for the past few days.
Oh, nice. Good. Yeah. I like that.
I can't remember the score. There was a little, possibly a score at the beginning, like a motif at the beginning.
Yeah.
When the stranger, the cowboy, was talking.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the memorable stuff from this film is the soundtrack.
It's the music that I'll listen to, yeah.
Okay, so I don't even know why I would ask this to Richard, but how would you do this differently?
I wouldn't make this film.
You wouldn't make this film, okay.
So I wouldn't do anything differently. It's a lot of people really love this film, and a lot of people, it's their favourite film. And you know what? I wouldn't like to take that away from them. I think maybe I'm I've been hyping up the hate in this film. No, you know what? Nah. I've been completely 100% honest with my opinion in this episode.
I like what you're, I like your point, and I think I agree. As the dream sequences, if you figured something out or it played a bigger part, it wasn't just like a little breather where you can go and make a cup of tea or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if that helped him figure out the crime and who was involved, and it was a bit more centered around kind of that and him figuring it out.
Is it not because the whole film is about the dude, right? It's about the dude, and he's a laid-back, kind of doesn't matter, carefree, relaxed person. Is that not what the direction, like, is that not what the Coen brothers want us to do? Just, like, kind of relax, forget about the plot, just enjoy the sequence, just enjoy enjoy him going down a bowling alley and flying over the city and enjoy the music.
That's why you see him in every shot, is because it is just about how he gets through life. And there's no structure to his life.
Yeah,
he
just don't take everything too seriously. Yeah. Just
as his name kind of says, he is the dude, and the dude is very laid back and relaxed, and he'll get there eventually, and nothing really bad will happen to him, and he'll just eventually find his way to probably where he started, and that's all that really matters. This is pretty much an inconvenience from him going from his house to Borland to back to his house. Yeah. Everything else that happens is just like, oh God, he's got to deal with this.
So that's the takeaway message of the film, Richard.
Yeah.
What's that?
That the plot isn't important. Don't worry about it. No. You're expecting something that this film isn't. So just watch it again.
Maybe because he didn't change.
Next time you watch it, right, just get, I'll have a white Russian.
Well, like I said,
right? Just sit
the
down.
All the other sort of characters, because they have this very cartoonish writing to them, they don't have much complexity. They're quite shallow. Like, you've got the angry guy, you've got the guy who always gets told to shut up, you've got the angry old guy in the wheelchair. They're all cartoons. So because of that, I would have liked more complexity with the main character. Maybe there is moments where maybe he is having second thoughts about what he's doing, and then decides, oh no, you know what, this is quite good. But he's just shallow as well, and I think maybe the side characters need to be more complex in order for him to stay shallow.
The dude doesn't want to change. If he did, he wouldn't be the dude.
No, he wouldn't be the dude. It's like it says, it's everything that happens in the film is just getting in the way of the dude doing nothing, pretty much. That's as simple as this film is. Maybe you're reading too much into it, but that's it. There's nothing. If none of that happened, he would have just done the same thing. I think one thing I would do differently is if it was a show, I like the bowling aspect. I like to see just a little bit more of that and him playing. But it's kind of nice that
the series goes through the actual league.
Yeah, and the conflict is between that, and then these external things are stopping them from playing in the league. You know, that's quite interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you would see...
That's good, because that's conflict and a goal.
Yeah, you kind of see him, like, trip over and, you know, not get there, or he's something's getting in the way, or... maybe it's that. And I think probably it's everyone will watch it who loves this film, so...
Has it aged?
No.
It
doesn't feel super 90s, does it? Actually, no, it does. Yeah, it definitely feels very 90s. Because
the cast dated a bit.
Yeah,
all
that's
of these
true.
Are very 90s.
It came out a year before.
It's like 20 years ago.
The Matrix, which is crazy. Because I would always think the Matrix was more timeless than this. Yeah, this is very 90s, isn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't spoil it, though.
No?
No, nothing about that, no. I mean, costumes.
It's like, it's like one of those gems of the 90s. Mm-hmm. Everyone else but me would say.
Yep.
All right, fun facts. Trivia. Theories.
A couple of theories. Steve Buscemi's character is in fact a ghost the whole time. I don't know how that is.
All right.
Why?
There's only two of them that talk to him, and they always tell him to shut up. I don't really get that. And
who's scattering at the end?
It's based around
Coffee Maid.
It's based around Thingy's character, John Goodman. It's like, it's a guy who he knew, and it's because he's got PSD, and he's got this person constantly in his ear repeating words that he's saying, and it's something to do with that. That's one of the facts. I don't particularly agree with that. I think there's something Richard would love to go to, and that's the Lebowski Fest that happens every year in America, and it's 2 days in different places in America. The first day is like the movie party. and watch the movie and have a good chat about it. And then the second date is the bowling party, where they all dress up and as different characters or references from the film.
How much would that bowling party smell? Yeah. It would absolutely stink.
Well, there's a couple of shirts we'll get you for Christmas, Rich. Oh, yeah. Memories of the Dude.
We should all give each other our own nicknames. Like, I'll be called Fella.
Why do you not like the Dude as a nickname?
I think that's a cool nickname.
I think the Dude, I think it's because at the beginning, he says, "Oh no, I'm the Dude. This is my nickname. I'm giving myself a nickname." Like, but I don't want you to call us Richard anymore. I want you to call us Dragon.
I feel like
the type.
Hey, Dragon.
Cheers.
But the thing is, right, you know, the nickname, like, if we called you Dragon, people will be expecting this. Oh, there's a dragon. He's going to be this big guy or whatever. He's going to be nuts. He's, you know, loads of patience. Maybe something like that. The Dude explains exactly who the character is.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah. By his nature, though, I don't think he would be all that bothered by what people call him. I think he's too fessed up with, "Oh, no, call us the Dude. Don't call us the Bowski. Call us the Dude. I'm the Dude. I'm the Dude." I think his laid back character would be like, "Just call us whatever you want. I'm not bothered. Just call us whatever."
But he's the Dude, though. That's his name.
Yeah, I know. It's really annoying.
That's his name, though. That's,
you're probably not going to win.
Oh no! That I'm just saying the point. But it's like,
it. What's his name?
The Dude.
Oh right. Oh, okay. I didn't know, even though he says it to himself a million times at the beginning.
What it is, it just explains who the character is in two words.
I think because of the voiceover at the beginning with the stranger, the cowboy guy, he says it loads as well. So then he says it, and then our character says it too. And it nails it into you. And it's just really annoying.
Well, I'll book tickets for the Lebowski Fest for this year sometime. Up and coming fests.
There's also a religion.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
What is it? I can't remember what it's called. The Dude.
Church of the Latter-day Dude.
Oh. Yeah. See, this is why it's been spoiled for you, because you know that.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
and the sad people that have that as part of their Facebook religion just need it.
Well, don't check mine. Mine's Jedi.
Mine's Jedi.
So we are the sad people who have things like that as their religion. You can't take it back.
Yeah, but I don't go. No one ever goes, "Oh, what religion are you?" "Oh, I'm Jedi." "Yeah, the Dude." "Oh, Star Wars. Love it."
Yeah, but you don't know if they do.
"Oh, I want to suck off all the Jedis." Yeah, that never happens.
You've just said that. It's in their Facebook profile. Yours is Jedi and yours. So it's kind of like, it's just a thing. Which you're allowed to have.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
All right, I'm kind of exhausted after that. I think we're done with that.
Yeah, I mean,
is there got anything else to add?
Yeah, I don't really like this film.
Do you not?
No.
5 stars from Richard.
I kind of enjoyed it.
I like it.
Didn't, so I'll give it like 3 out of 5.
I enjoyed complaining about it more than watching it yesterday.
Yeah. 4.5.
I'm going to give it a solid 2.
I'm glad I watched it because of just of everything I've heard about it.
Watch it again.
No.
Open your mind, open that brain, open the skull, pop it open, and just press play, and just forget about your worries.
It's not happening.
Pop your shorts on.
I can't be bothered. I'd rather watch Dude, Where's My Car? Which is funny, because yes, it's pretty much exactly the same film.
It is the same film.
But Dude, Where's My Car? Is like, knows how bad it is, and that's fine. Right. But this is supposed to be a good film. I think that's my problem with it.
No, I think what you're saying about it is, it's people love it as a good film. People who like it love it.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily a good film. It's just people who, it's a cult film, which is very objective.
I do think if you didn't read about the hype, you didn't know about the mad fans, you would have a totally different opinion than you do right now.
Yeah, I know, and that's really disappointing, isn't it? Because I would love this film.
Yeah, when films get spoiled like that for you, it is a bit
kind of like Anchorman. I remember watching that 4 years after everyone. But not about create all the memes you possibly can. And I watched it and I was like, this is just boring. This is rubbish.
But you not like it when you do, because I just used to avoid those films, and then you watch them 10 years later and you go, actually, it was pretty good that. I wish I got it in it at the time.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened.
That's happened to me a few times. I haven't got any examples, but it has happened.
Children of Men's another one. I was disappointed by that. Because everyone loves it. Everyone says it's like this absolute masterpiece, and I thought it was written and directed really badly.
Oh, really? Yeah. I haven't listened to the pod, but you've been on, so... I really like the film.
I think the acting wasn't very good.
All right, we're not talking about that.
The writing was terrible and all the characters were really stupid.
That's not true. Right, so...
It is. Go back and listen to it.
It's not.
I don't think it's true either, so...
Right, we're rambling now. Well, I think there was a problem with this film. The Big Lebowski, let's talk about that.
Well, it was two against one the other way when we did it.
It is a movie of...
Visually, though, it was children members... Stunning.
Yeah, that's the best bit about it.
You weren't on the podcast, you're not allowed to have a conversation.
Actually, don't mute it if it was just sound design. But take the characters away. Because
I like the world as well.
Or recast it.
I like the world.
Right, we're getting back to the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, the world was good. Stop. Yeah, the production design of that film and the cinematography were absolutely stellar.
And I thought the plot was original.
No, the plot, if you go back, it's exposition, right? Delivery of exposition, then delivery again, then delivery again, then delivery again. It happens four times in a row. If you go back and just think about the writing,
I'm gonna shoot off now.
You'll go, oh, Richard, you were right. It's actually
see you later.
Pins on heads. Like,
it's actually one of my favourite films.
Right, that's another film
Richard's not written very
Richard's well. Wrong about as well. But if you want to listen to that podcast, I can't remember what number it was. 30-something.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Right, I was going to sum up The Big Lebowski. I think it's a good film. I think the problem with it is it's made up of really good moments. If you take it by scene, they're very good scenes. They're very funny characters. But when you put it together, it's very convoluted and the plot doesn't really make sense. Yeah. And I think that's the major problem I think that you're having with it, Rich. But it is a good film. Check it out. Watch it and rewatch it. Because it's one of those films that rewards rewatching as well.
Yeah, I would definitely say go and watch it.
Not if you want to learn anything as a filmmaker, though. You should really go watch City of God instead. It's much better.
Okay, what are we watching next week, Richard?
28 Days Later.
I hope
it's a Danny Boyle film. It's like zombies
and
stuff.
I'm going to deliberately hate this film next week.
Okay. And it's pretty scary. And it's really interesting.
I haven't seen this for about 10 years, but I remember being terrified by it.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Because what I remember about it, there was realistic zombies.
Mm, yeah.
And it's not like Walking Dead stuff where they like hobble over to you. They're like chasing you down.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, you have to like... Rob, you'll be looking in the corner of the TV.
I'm not going to like it.
So tune in next week to listen to what our opinions are of... I forgot what it was. 28 Days Later.
28 Days Later.
Right. So that's the end of... You haven't seen that?
I haven't seen it.
We have now.
We have now.
Unfortunately.
Right, we're going to do one more round of trivia before we wrap up. So this is trivia where I'm going to play you a score or a motif and you have to tell me what the film is.
Cool.
Simple. What is this one?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yeah. Easy this week, aren't they?
Yeah, you're getting the classics out.
Yeah, yeah.
Rob got Superman, like, literally like a split second after the... It was like, Superman.
All right, next one. 2-1 to Richard here. Any ideas?
It's the most generic piece of cinema music.
Is it a Disney film?
No.
I don't know.
It's going right at the end. It's not the main piece from this film. It is Shrek.
Oh god. Imagine if you put Smash Mouth on. What is this? Somebody was
like that piece of music you just had on could be put on.
Could be anything, couldn't it? Anything.
Again, it's one of those things though, if you know what it is, you can picture that scene in your head because it's the last scene.
Ah, it's the moment where normal or something like that.
Yeah, it's the moment at the end where I think Fiona and Shrek kiss and it's like a big slow motion.
Spins around.
Yes, yeah. So no points there. I'll do one more. Unless Rob gets it, then we'll do one more tie break. What's this one?
Axel Foley in, I don't remember what it's called, Detroit City Cop film. I don't remember Beverly what it's
Hill
called.
Cop. Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, no.
I still love that film. But now it's just associated with the Crazy Frog.
I think
of
Bing, bing.
The meme before the internet. All right, it's 2-2, so I'm going to have to do one more before this week. I'll do an easy one. So this is going to be a who shouts out the fastest. And here it is.
Halloween.
Oh, Halloween.
I've only seen one of them. The one with Ice Cube? No. Booker T? No.
Booker T. Booker T.
I'm sure it was
Halloween H2O. I'm pretty sure.
Is it an Ice Cube?
LL Cool J is probably in it.
No, LL Cool J, yeah.
Richard won there, 3-2.
I learned that on the piano. That and Alton Towers.
All right. That's the end of the quiz. Richard won.
Richard won.
I hope you enjoyed that, whoever is listening still.
Yeah, if anyone's listening, do let us know. Send in some comments and any questions, we will answer them. We should put some posts out about that and get people to post in.
Yep.
So yeah, if you want to, you can find us on at The Film Mug on Twitter and various other social media pages. And so thanks very much for listening to this week's podcast, where we do try to achieve it one shot at a time. And until next time, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.